Hey everyone, and welcome back. It's great to be diving into this with you. All right, today we're tackling UFO sightings in 2024, and wow, the stuff you sent is amazing. Seriously mind-blowing news articles, scientific reports, you even included some personal notes. It's like we've got a real mystery on our hands.
It's the sheer volume of reports this year that's really got people talking. You know, 2024, it's feeling like a turning point, a global wave of sightings. It's really capturing everyone's attention.
Yeah, it's like the world suddenly became a UFO hotspot. Okay, so speaking of hotspots, let's start with that incredible event in Reykjavik, Iceland. Remember that one back in January? You sent in so many firsthand accounts and news reports about it. Hundreds of people saw these glowing orbs dancing across the sky, moving in these crazy synchronized patterns, almost like it was intentional.
The Reykjavik incident really threw a wrench into things. You've got some scientists suggesting it could have been some rare atmospheric phenomenon. Others are pointing to maybe some kind of military technology that we just don't know about yet. But those synchronized movements, captured on all those videos, it's still a puzzle. It's like they were putting on a show for everyone. And then you've got the reports you sent in from other parts of the world. Just as intriguing. Remember that farmer in Brazil who found his crops scorched into these intricate geometric patterns? Classic crop circles. You know, you mentioned that you've always been fascinated by crop circles. What is it about them that grabbed your interest?
I think it's because they're there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a tangible physical manifestation of something we can't explain, something unexplained, whether it's a natural phenomenon or an elaborate hoax or something else entirely. The precision and complexity of those formations, it's undeniably impressive.
I totally get that. And then there's the Australian commercial pilot, the report you sent in about him being followed by an object that was moving at impossible speeds.
Yeah. The variety and credibility of these witnesses, it's really striking. We're talking pilots, scientists, everyday citizens, all reporting similar phenomena. It really makes you wonder, are we witnessing a global phenomenon or is there something else going on?
That's the question, isn't it? With all these sightings popping up, it's not surprising that the scientists are getting involved. You included some fascinating articles about Dr. Maya Patel. She's a prominent astrophysicist, and it seems like she's bringing a balanced perspective to all of this.
Yeah, Dr. Patel acknowledges that many of these sightings can probably be explained by things like ball lightning, misidentified drones, or other atmospheric phenomena, but even she admits that some cases, like those synchronized lights over Reykjavik, they're truly puzzling. They really challenge our current scientific understanding.
It's like even the experts are scratching their heads. And it's not just individual scientists either. We're talking entire organizations taking notice. You know, NASA's new task force, the one dedicated to studying UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. That's the official term now. They found that at least 15% of these cases, they just can't be explained by conventional means. That's a pretty significant number.
It's definitely noteworthy. It signals a shift in how the scientific community is approaching these phenomena, you know, from dismissal to serious investigation.
Yeah. And speaking of investigations, you know what really caught my eye? The James Webb Space Telescope. It detected these unexplained energy bursts coming from a star system that's 12 light years away. And guess what? This happened right around the same time as the surge in UFO sightings here on Earth.
Yeah. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it raises a really interesting question. Could there be a link between these energy bursts and the UAPs that people are observing on Earth? It's something worth exploring further, for sure.
Maybe it's all connected somehow. Okay. Hold on tight, because things are about to get even more interesting.
Yeah.
You included some leaked documents from a whistleblower, someone inside the Pentagon. It seems they've been secretly investigating UFOs for decades. Talk about a bombshell.
The revelation of those Pentagon files, it was a game changer. You know, it confirmed what a lot of people have suspected for years, that governments have been aware of and investigating UFOs at the highest levels. But the content of these files, that's what's truly fascinating.
Right. It wasn't just boring reports. There's declassified footage of military jets having close encounters with these unidentified objects. Some of them even doing these crazy evasive maneuvers like they were toying with the pilots.
The footage described in the leaks, well, if it's authentic, it would provide some pretty compelling evidence of objects performing feats beyond our current capabilities.
Yeah.
You know, it begs the question, what are we dealing with here?
That's what everyone wants to know.
Yeah.
And there's this one report. It sent chills down my spine. It details an object intentionally entering Earth's atmosphere in 2021 and plunging into the Pacific Ocean. But what makes it even weirder is that it was emitting a specific frequency. And get this. That same frequency was later linked to the Reykjavik lights.
And that frequency, by the way, falls within a range that some scientists believe could be used for interstellar communication. The implications of an object intentionally entering our atmosphere and emitting a signal connected to the Reykjavik lights, it's mind-blowing. It suggests a level of control and purpose that defies easy explanation.
It's like this thing was making a pit stop in Iceland before taking a dip in the Pacific. It adds a whole new layer of mystery to this UFO saga. But the question remains, if governments have known about these events for decades, why haven't they been more transparent with the public?
That's a question a lot of people are asking. Some see it as confirmation of a cover-up, while others argue that it simply shows the government trying to understand a very complex phenomenon.
Yeah.
Regardless, the lack of transparency. It's fueled speculation and countless conspiracy theories.
Yeah. The UN even held an emergency meeting, urging all countries to be more open about what they know. It's safe to say that 2024 has been a wild ride for anyone even remotely interested in UFOs. But it's not just about the science and the secrets. We have to talk about the human side of all this. You know, you included some personal reflections on how these events have made you feel. How are people reacting to the possibility of alien life?
The psychological and emotional impact of all this? It shouldn't be underestimated. It's a profound paradigm shift. You know, it's forcing us to confront some fundamental questions about our existence and our place in the universe.
Exactly. It's not every day your whole worldview gets flipped on its head. Some people are probably thrilled, excited about the possibilities, but for others, it's pure terror. You specifically highlighted the story of that family in Kansas. They claim they were visited by a silent craft emitting this low-frequency hum. The authorities couldn't find any evidence, but the family's fear was very real.
Yeah, there were fear. The fear experienced by that family in Kansas, it highlights a crucial aspect of this whole phenomenon. It's not just about the intellectual curiosity of whether extraterrestrial life exists. It's about the very real potential impact that such a discovery could have on individuals and communities. This is where the work of Dr. Elena Rios becomes really relevant. She's a psychologist who's been studying how humans react to extraordinary events, and she describes this whole UFO phenomenon as the ultimate paradigm shift.
It really makes you think, are we ready for what might be coming?
That's the million-dollar question. Are we prepared for contact? And if so, how do we approach it? You know, Dr. Rios' work, it really delves into how individuals and societies grapple with the unknown. And she suggests that the whole idea of extraterrestrial contact, it triggers this range of responses from like exhilaration to existential dread. It's fascinating how this taps into our deepest fears and hopes about our place in the cosmos.
It's like we're being forced to confront those big questions, you know, the ones we've always pondered. Are we alone? What is our purpose? What does it mean to be human in a universe that might be teeming with other intelligent life?
Precisely. Dr. Rios argues that this kind of paradigm shift, it can be deeply unsettling. You know, all our familiar frameworks for understanding the world, our science, our religions, our social structures, they're all suddenly called into question.
Yeah, it's like the rug's been pulled out from under us and we're all just scrambling to find our footing. I can only imagine the anxiety and uncertainty this must create for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And as Dr. Rios points out, this uncertainty can manifest in a variety of ways. You know, some people might withdraw, they might seek solace in the familiar, others might become hypervigilant, always searching for evidence to confirm their hopes or their fears, and some might even embrace conspiracy theories as a way to impose order on a reality that suddenly seems chaotic.
It's a natural human response, right? To try to make sense of the inexplicable, especially when it challenges our core beliefs about ourselves and the universe.
Exactly. And the lack of clear answers or official guidance from authorities, it only amplifies this sense of confusion and unease. It's a breeding ground for speculation and fear.
Which brings us back to that unsettling report you shared about that family in Kansas, the one who described a silent craft emitting this low-frequency hum hovering near their home while no official evidence was found their experience. It really speaks volumes about the emotional impact of these events.
Their story. It's a powerful reminder that this isn't just some abstract intellectual debate. These experiences, they can be profoundly disturbing, you know, evoking this sense of vulnerability and powerlessness in the face of the unknown. Imagine the terror of encountering something so far beyond your comprehension, something that defies all your previous understanding of reality.
Yeah, it makes you realize this isn't just science fiction anymore. These events, they're having a real impact on people's lives, their sense of safety, their very understanding of what's possible.
Exactly. And this brings us to a critical question. Are we as a species prepared for the possibility of contact? Do we have the psychological and social frameworks in place to navigate such an unprecedented encounter?
That's the million-dollar question. Luckily, we have someone who's been thinking about this very issue for years. You included an interview with Dr. Stephen Hughes. He's an astrobiologist who's been advocating for a global protocol for potential contact. It seems like he believes we need to be proactive, not reactive in our approach.
Yeah, Dr. Hughes, he argues that we can't afford to be caught off guard. He stresses the need for a coordinated international effort, Now, to develop a strategy for managing potential contact scenarios, whether we're dealing with microbial life on another planet or a technologically advanced civilization.
It makes sense. We need to be prepared, not just scientifically, but ethically and culturally as well. What are some of the key elements Dr. Hughes proposes for this global protocol?
Well, he emphasizes the need for caution, humility, and a unified approach. He argues that contact, regardless of its form, should be approached with a sense of responsibility and respect, recognizing that our actions could have far-reaching consequences, not just for humanity, but potentially for any other intelligent species we might encounter.
It's like we're representing all of humanity on the galactic stage, you know? We need to make sure we put our best foot forward, avoid any intergalactic faux pas. So, what does this protocol look like in practice?
Dr. Hughes proposes a multifaceted approach. It involves international cooperation, scientific rigor, and a clear communication strategy. This would include things like establishing clear guidelines for verifying and assessing potential contact events, developing protocols for communication, and even addressing the ethical considerations of interacting with another intelligent species.
That sounds incredibly complex. Are there any existing models or frameworks that we can draw on?
Well, while there's no precedent for this type of interaction, Dr. Hughes draws inspiration from existing international agreements. You know, things like the ones governing space exploration and nuclear disarmament to illustrate how global cooperation can be achieved on matters of critical importance to humanity's future.
It seems like a monumental task to get all the nations of the world to agree on something as complex and potentially paradigm-shifting as a first contact protocol. What are some of the biggest challenges Dr. Hughes anticipates?
He acknowledges that there will be some significant hurdles to overcome. You know, international cooperation can be difficult, especially when it comes to sensitive issues like national security. There's also the challenge of managing public perception and expectations, which can be heavily influenced by fear, misinformation, and even cultural biases.
That's a lot to unpack. It's not just about developing the scientific and technological means for contact, but also about navigating the social, political, and even philosophical implications of such an event. But let's say we do manage to overcome these challenges and create this global protocol. What happens next?
Well, that brings us to the next stage, the question of how to actually initiate contact and what kind of message we should send. Should we actively send out signals or simply listen and observe, hoping to detect signs of other civilizations?
It's like trying to write a letter to a pen pal, you know, absolutely nothing about. What language do you use? What topics do you discuss? What if they misinterpret our intentions?
Exactly. The challenges of interstellar communication are immense, you know? We have to consider everything from the limitations of physics, signals traveling vast distances, taking years or even centuries to reach their destination, to the potential for misinterpretation. Even the simplest message could be perceived as a threat or an insult, depending on the cultural context of the recipient.
It's a delicate balancing act, trying to convey our peaceful intentions while also being mindful of the potential risks involved. What are some of the strategies Dr. Hughes suggests for navigating this complex communication challenge?
Well, Dr. Hughes advocates for a multi-pronged approach. He suggests starting with passive listening, using advanced telescopes to search for radio signals or other signs of technological activity. At the same time, he believes we should carefully consider the content of any messages we choose to send, prioritizing universal concepts such as mathematics, physics, and even music, which might be more readily understood across cultures.
It's fascinating to think about the possibilities, but with all the challenges and uncertainties involved, some might wonder, is it even worth the risk?
That's a question each of us has to grapple with. Dr. Hughes argues that the potential rewards of contact, the knowledge, the insights, the potential for collaboration, and even friendship, they outweigh the risks. He believes that contact, if approached thoughtfully and responsibly, could usher in a new era of understanding and cooperation, not just between nations, but between civilizations.
It's an inspiring vision, one that speaks to our innate curiosity and desire to connect with something larger than ourselves. But as we delve deeper into this topic, we have to acknowledge that not everyone shares Dr. Hughes' optimism. You included some perspectives from those who are more cautious, even fearful of the potential consequences of contact.
That's right. It's important to acknowledge the full spectrum of perspectives on this issue. Some experts warn that contact with a more advanced civilization, it could pose existential threats to humanity. You know, they cite historical examples of how encounters between technologically disparate cultures have often resulted in exploitation or even extinction.
It's a sobering reminder that we need to proceed with both caution and wisdom, considering the potential risks alongside the potential rewards.
Exactly. This isn't just a scientific endeavor, it's a societal one, a global one. The decisions we make about contact, they'll have profound implications for generations to come.
So it seems like we're standing at a crossroads here, facing a decision that could completely redefine humanity's future. You know, do we reach out to the cosmos, embracing the unknown with all its potential risks and rewards, or do we kind of retreat into the familiar, choosing the perceived safety of isolation over the uncertainty of contact?
It's a profound question. There are no easy answers.
Yeah.
You know, the choice we make, it'll reflect our values, our beliefs, our understanding of our place in the universe. It's a decision that demands careful consideration, open dialogue, and a willingness to confront our deepest fears and aspirations.
It's fascinating to think about how our perspective on this issue has evolved over time. You know, you included that article about early attempts at contact, like the Arecibo message that was sent out in 1974, basically a cosmic hello beamed towards a distant star cluster. Do you think that approach, sending out these unsolicited messages, is still relevant today?
It's a topic of much debate. Some scientists argue that it's reckless to just broadcast our presence to the cosmos, you know, potentially attracting unwanted attention. Others believe it's a fundamental expression of our curiosity and our desire to connect with other intelligent life.
It's like we're weighing the potential benefits of a cosmic handshake against the possibility of an unwelcome intrusion. You know, if we do decide to send out messages, what should they say? Should we focus on showcasing our scientific achievements, our cultural diversity, or simply our hope for peaceful coexistence?
There's no one-size-fits-all answer. The content of any message, it should be carefully considered, taking into account the intended audience and the potential for misinterpretation. Some experts advocate for a minimalist approach, focusing on universal concepts like mathematics and physics. Others believe we should include information about our culture, our history, even our hopes and fears, recognizing that any message we send will inevitably reflect our own biases and perspectives.
It's a delicate balance, trying to represent humanity in all its complexity, while also being mindful of the potential risks of revealing too much. It makes me think about the golden record that was sent out on the Voyager spacecraft back in 1977, a time capsule filled with images, sounds, music from Earth. It was a bold and optimistic gesture, but it also raises questions about what kind of legacy we want to leave behind.
The Voyager record. It's a powerful symbol of our desire to connect with the cosmos. It's a message in a bottle. Drifting through interstellar space, carrying a snapshot of humanity's achievements and aspirations. Whether it ever reaches an intended audience or not, it represents a testament to our curiosity, our creativity, and our enduring hope for a future beyond our own planet.
It's an incredible legacy to leave behind. But as we contemplate these grand gestures, it's important to remember the immediate impact of these events on people's lives. You know, you shared that story about a community in rural Australia that experienced a series of unexplained lights in their night sky. It sounds like it brought the community together, sparking a sense of wonder and shared experience.
That's right. While some might focus on the fear and uncertainty surrounding these events, it's important to acknowledge the positive impacts as well. These experiences, they can foster a sense of awe, a renewed appreciation for the mysteries of the universe, and even a deeper connection to our fellow humans as we grapple with the unknown together.
It's a reminder that even in the face of uncertainty, there's room for wonder, curiosity, and a sense of shared humanity.
Absolutely. And ultimately, that's what makes this topic so compelling. It challenges us to expand our horizons, to question our assumptions, and to imagine possibilities beyond our current comprehension.
It's been an incredible journey exploring this topic with you. We've delved into the science, the secrets, the fears, and the hopes surrounding the UFO phenomenon. We've examined the evidence, considered the possibilities, and grappled with the ethical implications of encountering another intelligent species.
The events of 2024, they've undoubtedly left their mark on our collective consciousness. Sparking conversations and debates that'll likely continue for years to come.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a final thought, a question to ponder as you continue your own exploration of this fascinating topic. If we do make contact, if we do encounter an advanced extraterrestrial civilization, what do you think is the most important thing humanity should do? Is it to share our knowledge, to seek their guidance, or simply to listen and learn? The answer, my friend, is up to you. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and never stop looking up at the stars. Who knows what wonders await us out there?
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, stay curious.
And keep those minds wide open.